We're in our series, and our series is called Faith. And our first lesson was, of course, the faith of God, where God literally believes through us. When we hear the faith of God and we move on the faith of God, something's going to happen. We hear the Lord speak to us, and usually it's something really strange and weird and out there for us, and we initially get energized by it, but then we talk ourselves out of it. It's the faith of God. And then last time we talked about having faith to take a risk, part one. And we talked about that faith is really risky. It's just not believing. It's stepping out and doing something. It's risky. And by the way, before I get going too much here, are you comfortable? We were in a church last night. We about froze to death. So is it a little cold in here now? Is it? Let's cut the heat. Let's turn it off. I think we're still cold from last night. Let's turn the air off. That's what I meant to say. Okay. So today I want to talk about faith part two. The faith to take risks part two. See, what God does in all of our lives is He's constantly giving us opportunities to advance. But as you well know, advancement is never easy. It just doesn't happen. You know, the enemy always comes at us with resistance and opposition. And the opposition that the enemy always comes to us with is fear. That's his number one tool that he's going to come at you with. And so we become afraid to step out of our safe zones and step into the faith zone. And so we live in this complacent place in life where God's got all of this waiting for us on the horizon after the risk. But yet we never go there. You see, what we do is we, at best, pass it by, let it pass by, miss the opportunity, and then we stay where we are at best. Now, I'm going to say at best, and I'm going to emphasize that because God sees something coming down the pipe. And sometimes He will try to get you to move out, even though it may be a little risky, because He sees what's about to happen. Maybe you're about to lose the job, or maybe the company's about to dissolve. But He sees something happening, and He's trying to do something, and yet we still stay there. And a lot of the times that we go through stuff is because we just didn't take the risk. And when a God-given opportunity comes to us, we begin analyzing it. You know, we start listing these things. We start listing this stuff, and usually it's reasons why we can't do it. I have this opportunity to start this business, but, you know, I don't know if people will buy from me. I don't know if they'll use my services. And so we talk ourselves out of it because of fear. Or I have an opportunity to share in front of people and a presentation, but I don't think I'm able to do that because what if I forget what I say, what I want to say? You have an opportunity to advance in your occupation, but I don't think I've got the skills and the abilities to do that. And so what we've done is we've talked ourselves out of doing the God-given risk, and we've missed it. And so if we're ever going to be what we want to be and have the life that we want to have and be the person that God wants us to be, we have got to learn to step out. We've got to learn to become pioneering. We've got to have a pioneering attitude, and if you will allow me to use this, a pioneering spirit. We've got to get out there in some uncharted areas. We've got to get out into some deep water, uncharted waters where we haven't been before, and trust God to take us through. You see, that's what faith really is. Faith is getting out there and then believing that God's going to get you through it. That's what faith is. And I really believe that some of us right now are facing this opportunity, this risk, and God's wanting us to do something, and we're battling with it. You know, we're afraid of it, and it's fear. It's fear that's holding us back. Fear will always stop us from experiencing the horizons that God has all the way out there for us. Some of us can change careers or start a job or go back to school. But we're analyzing this, you know, and we're talking ourselves out of it, and we're really missing an opportunity because of fear. There's fear of change. We don't like to change. We're afraid of change. There's fear to take the risk and just to step out there. Or there's fear that I don't have what it takes. So what I want to deal with first today in talking about fear to take risk, I want to deal with the first scripture I want to talk about is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says here, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." So what is fear? Fear is a spirit. And unless we realize that's not from God, we're going to be listening to the wrong thing. We're really listening to the enemy. But what he has given us is power. You do have the ability. Love. God loves you. You love God. And of a sound mind. You've got the mind to do this. You can pull this off. And so what I'm wanting us to challenge us all with today is that if fear is stopping you from taking the risk, realize that you're allowing the enemy to stop you from experiencing the wonderful things that God has out there on your horizons. And you would say, Delbert, you know, man, you know, what if it's not God? What if it's me? What if I've just dreamed up all this stuff? And I want to say something, and I really think it's so important concerning faith and concerning our lives. So, let me say it this way. I believe God, I know God would rather us step out there in faith and take the risk and miss it and get a little off course than to never do anything at all. I know that God wants us to try. It pleases Him when we're doing the most we can to and believe that we're doing what He wants us to do. Our God is merciful. The Bible tells about His mercy endureth how long? Forever. His mercy is so understanding and so loving and so caring. And so you do miss it a little bit. And so you do get off track a little bit. What the Bible teaches us is that's okay with God. Because He's going to work that so that you come out better on the other side of the risk than you were when you went into the risk. This is the God we serve. And if I can communicate this to you, I think I'm going to help you a little bit step out there and try what you're feeling to do. Romans chapter 12. No, excuse me, I jumped something. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Now, this is something we should know, but we struggle with knowing this. We know that whatever I do, if I love God, number one, and if I am doing the best I can, number two, love Him who have been called according to His purpose. If I'm doing the best I can to do what God wants me to do, His purpose, then God is going to cover me. He's got my back. And no matter what I miss it, how I miss it, or how I get off course, God's going to make sure that I'm going to come out of that thing good. I'm going to be okay. If we always play it safe and never step out there, we stagnate. Life becomes stagnant. And it's not just maybe stagnating in our occupation, but our marriages will stagnate. Our family life will stagnate. And one of the worst things that happens is when we never stretch ourselves, is our relationship with God stagnates because we really don't need Him. And you know what happens when something stagnates long enough? It stinks. And so people end up with stinking marriages, stinking jobs. Right? Stinking church. Why? Because they don't really need God. And people are bored with life. Because they won't take the challenge, the risk, to step out there and do what their heart wants to do what God's put inside of us, created us with talents and gifts that we really want to do, but we're frozen by fear. The enemy comes and he stops us from experiencing great lives with fear. We become complacent and we stay in the fear zone and never experience the faith zone. And I want to say something. If you're in God's perfect will, you will be stretched. If you're not being stretched, you're not in God's perfect will. Now, I'm going to show you here in just a second, but God's will is more complex than just one dimension. I want to say this to make sure I do, but because you're not in God's perfect will doesn't mean that if you were to die, you wouldn't go to heaven. But you're never going to experience the abundant life that you want to have. So let me show you the scripture from which I'm springing here. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By dealing with your mind. Getting your mind right. Not letting fear seize your mind. He says, if you will renew your mind, if you will get your mind working with God, renew your mind, then, watch this now, you will be able to test. I like this. Test and approve what God's will is. You can test God's will. You can find out. When you start thinking the way God thinks. And then he says this, and this is the part I'm really after. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. God will let you have a good life. It's boring. Sometimes it stinks. But if that's what you want, you'll die and go to heaven. But you're never going to have the life you want and experience the life you want to experience. And you're never going to be used by God the way God wants to use you. You can have a okay life. You know, you can have the pleasing life. And this life's comfortable, you know. But you're never going to have the abundant life that Jesus came to give you if you will not stretch. If you will not allow that risk to take its place in your life and you follow it. Because on the other side of the risk are always the horizons that God wants us to see and experience and have. You know, I told you a bunch of times, but last week, about Judy and I stepping out in faith and coming here. And from that risk, leaving a job and the life that we had, from that risk is this. So I'm thinking, you know, what had I not done that? What would have happened to me? What would have happened to my family? Because what the Lord told me is if you go, I'll bless you. I'll bless your family. But what would have happened? See, I would have been okay. I'm a smart guy. I'd have worked. And, you know, I told you early and made sure that I pointed it out because God sees things coming down the pipe that we don't see. And He knows that things are happening. See, after 2 years, after I did that, after I stepped out in faith, the plant at which I worked shut down. I don't know what they would have done with me. They'd have done something with me, but I don't know what they would have done. And then, interestingly enough, 8 years after I left, the whole company sold out to another company. I don't know what they would have done with me. God sees things coming down the pipe, and a lot of times He removes us from horrible situations by a risk. And you know, I think, you know, what would have happened? I would have been okay. I would have made it. I'd have had a good life. I might have even had a pleasurable life. But there is no way I would even be close to God's perfect will for me. I would not have met you. There would be no LifeGate. I would have never been used by God the way He's used me. My children, I'm sure they would have married somebody. But they wouldn't have married the people they married because they wouldn't have been here to meet them. My point here is that on the other side of a risk is a horizon. And you can never experience that horizon until you get through the risk. Because of that, I have these four beautiful, amazing grandsons. I don't know if I would have them had I not taken the risk. And so what the Lord is encouraging you and challenging you to do today is that some of you are facing the risk. And what's stopping you is fear. But you'll never experience the horizon unless you experience the risk. David was a teenage shepherd boy. He just kept sheep. He was not trained in war. He had never killed anyone. He had not battled. And so God challenges David to do something he's never done before. Not just have a fight, but have a fight with somebody a whole lot bigger than him, a giant. It's a risk. But David had the faith to take a risk. And you know what happened? God moves in. David needed God. God moved in. And that little bitty rock hit that big old mountain of a man right between the eyes there and hit it right where it could be. This armored guy hit him right where he had to hit it, and down went that mountain. David spoke to his mountain and said, "Be removed." And it was. And you know the story. But see, that risk set up David for his destiny. That risk set up the horizon for David to become king of all of Israel. Every time you look at faith in the Scripture, you find a risk. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know the story of the three Hebrew children. Everybody knows the story. But the thing that I want to point out here is they refused to bow to fear. And so many of us bow to fear. They refused to bow to fear. You know the story. Nebuchadnezzar had built this huge idol, golden image, and he was commanding everybody to bow to it. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we're not going to do it. We're not bowing to this thing. Well, if you don't do it, then I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. I don't care. We're not bowing. We're not bowing to your fear. And so they took him, you know, the story, heated the thing up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. Took these guys, bound them up, threw them in. And it was so hot that the Bible says that the people that threw them in died themselves. God shows up. My point here is that when you take a risk, it will get hot. But God will always show up. Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and says, excuse me, didn't we show 3 in there? And we threw them in there bound up. I'm looking and I see 4. And they're loose. And one of them's walking around and he looks like the Son of God. God will show up. And you'll come out of that thing loosed from whatever was binding you and not even smell like smoke. God will take it and work it for good for you. And on the other side of risk are horizons. Let me show you this, even with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel 3:30 says this, Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even a higher positions in the providence of Babylon. New horizons are always on the other side of risk. You'll never get to experience those things unless you take the risk. Delbert, I'd love to do that. Man, you know, I'd do it today. I'd do it right now. I'd do it right now. If I just knew. If God would just give me a chill down my spine, you know. Goosebump. One goosebump. He would just tell me that I'd be successful. I'll do it. I'll do it right now. It doesn't work that way. Because if it did, it wouldn't be faith. If it worked that way, you wouldn't need God. And it's impossible to please God without faith. Or we could say it's impossible to please Him without risk. We've got to need God. And what the Lord's saying is that you've got to take the step. You got to step out of comfort and into faith. You got to step out of fear and into faith. You got to step out and get your feet wet. The Bible talks about a time with the nation of Israel, and they had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now Joshua was leading them, and it was time to cross the Jordan River. But the problem was the Jordan was at flood stage. It was deep, and it was wide, and it was flowing. And the word of the Lord came, and the instructions came that they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, of course, in the Bible is symbolic of the presence of God. So let me read you this and tell you about this a little bit. In Joshua 3, verse 3, it says this: "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, who are the Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." In other words, when God is speaking to you and you see God moving in your life, then it's time for you to move. It's time for you to leave your positions and go with the presence of God and follow it. Then you will know which way to go. See, you're not going to know until it goes, until you go. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Now, I believe that that's speaking to some of us, because some of the way that we're feeling to go, we've never been before. I've never pastored a church before. I didn't know what to do. But I felt like God was moving. And I wanted to follow Him. I wanted His presence. And so I went. And this is what the Lord is saying to you. Listen, it's time sometimes to just go with the presence of God. And when you're getting the right counsel and you feel inside and you and so many of us we go through this, we feel good about it. It energizes us when we think about it, and we get this energy and we want to do it so badly. We know we feel it, and when we pray about it, it seems to be God. But yet we allow fear to talk us out of it. But God says, if you will go, on the other side of this risk is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. On the other side of this risk is the promised land. On the other side of this risk is the horizons that you'll never experience unless you follow the presence of God. So, you know, the thing is flooding, and then we read more here. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from the upstream stopped flowing." What am I wanting to say here? It's when you take the step and get your feet wet that God says, "I'll show up and I'll stop the flood. You'll be able to cross it. I know it's deep. I know it's over your head. But you know what I've learned in faith, learned in life, is that once you get so deep over your head, it really doesn't matter anymore how deep it is. Right? You're out there, man. It doesn't matter. And this is when you need God. And this is when God shows up. And He stops the flood, and you're able to cross over. You see, I really believe that our attitudes have got to be, "Lord, sink or swim, I'm going with You. Sink or swim. I know I'm going to experience things. I'm going to see things. I'm going to face giants that I've never been this way before. But I believe that because I'm following Your presence, You're going to help me, lead me, guide me, and protect me." That's faith. Get your feet wet. Get your feet wet. There's a place that I believe God has prepared for all of us to live a supernatural, abundant life. It's there. It's commanded. God's commanded it for us. But because of fear, because it sounds so strange to do, we don't do it. And we miss the opportunity. Elijah was the guy, you remember, he was the prophet that said, "It's not going to rain until I say so. You're not going to have dew, you're not going to have rain until I say so." Well, it was drying up. No food, famine in the land, no water. God came to Elijah, and he spoke to him, and he says this in 1 Kings 17:3. He says, Go to the east, get a little direction, and hide by Kereth Brook, at a place east of where it enters the Jordan River. A specific place is where this blessing is. Drink from the brook, that's okay, and eat what the ravens bring you. See, when God speaks to you, it's not going to make a lot of sense sometimes. Eat what the ravens bring you, for I have what? I have commanded them to bring you food. I've commanded it. I've commanded a blessing. It's at this place, Elijah. It's drying up everywhere else. Listen, there's an economic catastrophe out there everywhere else. But listen, if you're hearing the presence of God, He's going to tell you where to go. He's going to tell you what to do. And you can supernaturally be sustained and supported by God if you go there. It can be drying up every place else. But if you're following the Lord and taking the risk, now, I mean, just imagine if Elijah said, well, you know what? Ravens, Lord, that's a little far out. I don't know if I'm going to believe that or not. And, you know, I'm really comfortable here. I got my own bed and, you know, I got my routine. You know, this is how I go to work every day. And, you know, I like it like this. I think I'm just going to hang out here. He would have missed the supernatural lifestyle that God had for him. The abundant life. See, and if you know the story, this is the good part. If you know the story, Kareth dried up. The place that God told him to go to experience a supernatural lifestyle dried up. The brook dried up. There was no water, no food. So what did God do here? Let me show you. Let me show you. Here it is in 1 Kings 17:9. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. But just because you're in the place you need to be today doesn't mean you're going to be in the place you need to be tomorrow. It's where God wants you today, but it might dry up. And I really feel like that this is happening so oftentimes in our lives. It dries up. Cherith dries up. But God's already commanded. He's already got it set up for another place. See, the goal in life is not to be comfortable. The goal in life is not to have a good life. The goal in life is to find the place where God's commanded the blessing. If we'll find where God's commanded that blessing, we're going to live a supernatural life. And everything else can be drying up. Everything else can be nothing. But yet we're living in an abundance. We're living in the perfect will of God. And I believe that for every single Christ follower, there is a commanded blessing. There is a place for you and me to be blessed beyond anything we could ask, think, or even dream. Commanded blessing. In the book of Esther, it tells us about a plot that this evil person named Haman had to destroy the people of God. And it speaks in a lot of different dimensions. It speaks when somebody comes against us and, you know, and tries to destroy us or whatever. But God had raised up Esther, beautiful, beautiful woman. And he had challenged Esther with the opportunity to go before the king and to reveal to the king the plot to destroy God's people. This thing was done behind his back. He wasn't aware of it. And it was done behind his back. And Esther was challenged with the opportunity to go and reveal this plot to the king. But there was a problem. There was a law. And the law said this, that if anybody approaches the king without being invited and he does not receive them, that person is put to death. So fear tries to come on Esther and seize her mind to stop her from doing what God wanted her to do. God had challenged her to go go before the king. She had an uncle, and the uncle's name was Mordecai. I want to read you what Mordecai said to Esther. Esther 4:14 says this, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." In other words, Esther, if you don't do it, God's going to get it done. He's going to find somebody else to do it. But, you and your father's house, your relatives, the people you love, you care about, shall be destroyed. And who knows, Esther, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther, this is why you're alive. Esther, this is your divine appointment. This is your destiny. And Esther, this opportunity is not going to come around again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a once-in-a-lifetime risk. Esther was faced with fear. You know what she did. I hope you do. She went. But I want to show you what she said before she went to the king. Esther 4, verse 16 says this, "And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law." I'm breaking the law, she said. And if I perish, I perish. Sink or swim, I'm going for it. If I perish, I perish. But I am not going to allow this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, this once-in-a-lifetime risk, to pass me by. Here's what I want us to really hear. Most things in life, God gives us opportunities after opportunity after opportunity. We have different opportunities throughout life. He's constantly bringing. But I think that every single one of us has a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And if we miss it, we miss it. Doesn't come back again. It's a destiny-defining risk. It defines whether you go to your destiny or you miss it. I think starting LifeGate Church was one for me. I think that me getting to do that is the greatest thing that God's ever let me do, other than my family, or along with my family, however, it's hard to separate all the things like that, but God does. But what I want you to see is that I really believe that in our lives, God has a commanded blessing for us. And there's a place that we come to in life where a once-in-a-lifetime risk is given to us. And we can't allow fear to stop it. We can't allow fear to seize our minds and stop us from experiencing the horizons that's beyond the risk. Esther did it. Esther did. She went, and God showed up like He always does. And God brought her. God brought her in. She became the king's favorite, and you know, she had a great life. There's always horizons after the risk. But what God really wants you to hear is you don't know really which risk is your once in a lifetime. You don't know. So it's so important that you investigate every single one of them. This might be it. You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. What's the Lord really wanting to say to us today? See, the Lord is saying, don't miss your God-given opportunities. And even if it's you, and you miss it or you get off course a little bit, God is saying, hey, I got you back. I'm still going to make it good for you. You're going to come out better on the other side of it. If you won't let fear seize your mind, stop listening to fear and listen to your heart, listen to your spirit, listen to what you really want to do with your life. You only have one. God says, take the risk to enjoy it. He says, there's going to be some giants there, but I'm going to help you bring them down. Get your feet wet. Because on the other side of the risk is the horizons. And I want you to go into your land that's flowing with milk and honey. If you'll just get your feet wet, we're going to go in together. It's your promised land, but you can't go in until you cross. You got to go through the risk. Don't bow to fear. Don't bow to fear. God's going to show up for you just like He did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's going to show up and He's going to bring you out of it, not even smelling like smoke. You're going to come out better than you were when you went in. Unbound, loosed from everything. And again, experiencing the horizons. And never miss your once-in-a-lifetime risk. Your destiny-defining time. Make sure you don't miss that one, because that one's only going to come around once. God is saying to us through our lesson last week and this week, you got to have faith to take a risk, or you don't have faith at all. And if you want to have the life that you want to have, and you want to have the life that God wants you to have, you've got to have faith to take a risk. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Now, Your Word is so challenging. Your Word is amazing. There's not a heart here that doesn't bear witness with this, Lord. We all know this is true. Lord, You've given each of us opportunities. And some of them we've taken and many of them we haven't because of fear. So, Father, today I pray that we come against that spirit of fear. And with every risk, every opportunity that You bring our way, we investigate it. And we see if it's that risk that will take us to our divine destiny. Heads bowed and your eyes closed. Maybe you totally know what I'm talking about. Maybe right now you're facing a risk. And fear's kind of got you. or maybe in the past, you know that this is true, that fear stopped you from doing something that you so wanted to do. But you, along with me today, would say, I am not going to let fear stop me anymore. I am going to get my feet wet. I'm at least going to stick my foot in the water. I'm at least going to check it out. I'm not going to allow fear to stop me from taking a risk again. I want to fulfill my divine destiny for the very reason I've come into the kingdom of God. If that's you, along with me, would you raise your hand and just let me pray for you and with you and with all of us? I see your hands. Hands everywhere. Father, you're just challenging us. Lord, there's so much you want us to have and so much you want us to experience. And Lord, we don't want a boring, stinking life. Lord, we want a life that is fulfilling. We want a life that our talents and our gifts are utilized and come forth. So, Father, help us. Lord, when the spirit of fear tries to come upon us, let us realize that's not you. That, Lord, you're just challenging us to step out by faith in you and experience what you have for us on the other side of the risk. Your heads are still bowed, your eyes are still closed, and some of you aren't where you need to be with God, and you know it. You see, the problem here is that your risks are never going to work out. You can't experience the commanded blessing. See, Jesus says, I come to give you life and that more abundantly. Without Jesus in your life, you can't have the life of which I speak. Jesus says to you today, receive me as Lord. Confess with your mouth, I'm Lord. Believe in your heart that God really did raise me from the dead. And if you will, receive me. And if you'll walk by faith and let me help you with a perfect will of God, you're going to experience a life beyond your wildest dreams. If that's you, and you know you're not where you need to be with God, but you want to be, and you want to have a life that's abundant and a life that's fulfilling, if that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting? And let me pray for you right where you're sitting. I see one hand. See, look at me while you got your hands up. And let me just point you out and make eye contact with you. I see you back here. There's two in the back. Right here in the front, I see you. In the back, right there. So, good. Over here, I see you. Great. Any others? Don't want to miss anyone. Leave your hand up. Good deal. Father,